It's been a minute since I heard the bubblegum call. Amen. But God bless you, you and you and you, and yes, even you. Once again, you are tuned in to the Six Eyes Motivational Monday with yours truly. And again, it is an honor and a privilege to be with you today. I'm Pastor Kenneth Bonnet, a True Word of Faith, Church of God in Christ. Amen. Amen. God gave me that title for my ministry as I was seeking out and trying to discover what to do and how to say. Years before that, I was calling my ministry as I was witnessing True Word of Faith. New Testament believers, excuse me. And I wrote a book about being reborn, a chance to live again. And God blessed me from that. And as everything began to advance and move forward, before I knew it, God had allowed me to open up a ministry, a church, physical church. Amen. As we began just to teach, I am my brother's keeper. Amen. That a greater community starts with Jesus and you. Please be my good neighbor. Amen. And I'm thankful for those beginnings. Amen. I'm thankful for all the things that we've gone through, so many things that we've gone through over the past few years, since the beginning of the True Word of Faith, which happened in 2012. Amen. And I'm just thankful that God is still allowing me opportunity to speak into the lives of people and to encourage them in the ways of God, amen, and to encourage them naturally, amen. I try to be very practical and very open and very honest, you know, as a preacher. Some may say at times I may be too transparent. But I don't have nothing to hide. Amen. I found out anything that we start hiding, the devil can come and use it against us. Amen. So there's no need for us as true believers to be hiding anything. I mean, unless you're hiding your gun or hiding your money, you shouldn't be hiding anything. I thought Amber would laugh on that one. Amen. So I'm just thankful to be here with you all on tonight. The topic I want to talk about tonight is one that I'm hoping to spark some conversation from you all. Amen. So I will be opening up the lines because I want to talk about an eternal kingdom, internal kingdom. Amen. And so just in case you're not sure how I'm pronouncing this word, I am pronouncing E-T-E-R-N-A-L. So a internal kingdom. Amen. And so I want to talk about that because so many of us only think about the presence of God in what is called a church or tabernacle. The house of God. Amen. But there's a scripture text in the New Testament that reference the kingdom of God. And before I read my lesson tonight, let's go to it. It's in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. So I need to change. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, and I guess we'll read that. Okay. One brief moment. Let's do this again. Thank God I got a physical Bible. I'll go get it. All right, we'll try that one more time. 1 Corinthians. Chapter 6. It simply says, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, it simply says, don't you know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who lives in you and who was given to you by God. You do not belong to yourself, but to God. And we're going to come back to that, and I want to leave that thought as we go back to the Old Testament, and we're going to build a reference here. And we're going to come back to this point here. Don't you know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit? Many of us don't realize that we are precious in the sight of God to the point that he don't want to dwell in the earth anywhere other than within us. Now, we know that God is omnipresent. That means he's here, there, and everywhere. He's like oxygen. He's all over. But that is the visible presence of God, the eyes of God. There's nowhere we can go that we cannot be seen by God, because he sits up high and he looks down low. So we can't be hid, because he's better than Superman. He don't need x-ray vision. He just has perfect vision. We call our perfect vision 20/20, but his is that he sees a black ant on a black rock on the blackest of night. That's his vision. He can still see everything that's going on at any given time. And so we have that type of God, but his desire is to be within us, to be one with us. Missionary Ken pointed out the true Lord's Prayer, or Jesus' Prayer, as you would. And part of that prayer was Jesus was praying that our relationship will be like his relationship with the Father, that they are one in agreement. Amen. And that's how God wants to be intimate with us. But religiously, a lot of people only think that the presence of God only is in a particular place. And that may be so, but just because it's called a church don't mean that God's presence is really there. It's only when the people invoke the presence of God. Amen. The Bible said that God inhabits the praises of his people. And so if God is inhabiting the praises, that means where we're coming to meet and begin to praise together, that's where God is in the midst. So guess what? We're on the airwaves right now. We're in a combined location brought to us by modern technology called airwaves. And so although we are spread across the country or across the world, wherever you may be hearing this message now, but if you're connected now in this very same moment, if we begin to praise God together right here and right now, in our midst, whether it was two or more of us, because that's what he said, where there are two or more gathered together in his name, there he will be in their midst. And so we can invoke the presence of God just by being on the phone together, on the internet together, on a chat line or a video call. We can invoke the presence of God there. Now, that doesn't excuse the physical. That don't give us an excuse to avoid the physical, because God wants us to reach out and touch one another, be able to do certain things. But because technology is what it is, it gives us certain liberties that in olden days was not available. So in biblical time, they couldn't reach across the country. Amen. The Holy Spirit could, but the people couldn't. So right now, today, you and I, any one of us with a word from God is able to send that word from this point where you are, next door, or 100 yards from you, or 100 miles from you or 1,000 miles from you, all at the click of a button, a few buttons. And so that was technology has given us. And so we're thankful for it, and we use it to benefit the kingdom of God. Amen. And that's the purpose of church, is to bring light believers together so that we will not just worship God, praise God, and honor God together as a faith community, but that we will be trained and taught and educated and empowered through the word so that we can go out within our individual location and win the world for Christ. Amen. One, the season. We're in a season of leading to Pentecost. One of the things that Jesus told his disciples, he told them, he said, remain here in Jerusalem until the comforter comes. And he told them, he said, don't leave yet. I want you to wait on the promise that he will come. Now, his purpose, and we'll talk about the Holy Spirit more in details next month. For this month, the emphasis is on the anointing. But we'll get into how he, the Paracletus, how he comforts us, how he responds the word of God, how he is that supreme witness in us that Christ lives. And he empowers us to be a witness to the world that Christ lives. Amen. And so it's important to know that. And it's important to know how Christ is, what he is, and who he is. And so all of that is part of our development and growth in Christian faith. Amen. And so let me get back on task. Amen. An internal kingdom. That's what we're going to be talking about tonight. And we're going to be in 2 Samuel. Amen. 2 Samuel. And we'll read in chapter 7. For those of you that really want to study your word, go back and read all of chapter 7. We're only going to read verses 4 through 16. Amen. The A clause of 16. Amen. Because there's some things that we want to talk about. 2 Samuel chapter 7 opened with King David enjoying a period of rest. He was able to enjoy a period of rest, but it was only after a period of running, a period of fighting, a period of removing all that was wicked amongst God's people. And in his obedience to destroy the enemies of God, he was able to enjoy a season of rest. And so while he was enjoying his season of rest, one of the things he began to do is build his palaces. Because as a king, he had, in that day and time, that's not for you all today, not for us, in that day and time, what kings did and leaders of his caliber did is a peace treaty. They had wives that may have been part of other nations, other groups. Amen. And they would marry them and start families with them. And these would be peace treaties. These would be those nations coming together under one umbrella. And so David had multiple wives. Amen. And that was allowed then. But when you go back to the priesthood, the priests and those men that were leading God's people was only required to have one wife at a time. That means if she passed on, then he could remarry. But he would have one wife. Amen. And because his life was often demonstrated as an example of the relationship of God with the relationship of Israel. Israel being one nation, amen, as a whole, and having one true God, amen. And so, 2 Samuel chapter 7, again, it opens up while King David, and he was a king at this time, he wasn't just David, the warrior or the shepherd boy. He was enjoying a period of rest from all the surrounding enemy. With the help and guidance of the Lord, David managed to subdue Israel, long-standing enemy. Amen. That means he overcame the greatest enemies, the Philistines. Amen. And most of us understand that Goliath, when he fought Goliath, Goliath was a Philistine. He was part of that army. He was part of that nation. He was a giant. And history records not only that Goliath was a giant, but he had four other brothers. And so the Philistines was a nation that was opposing God. And in the life of David, David was able to subdue them. Amen. And so he captured Jerusalem and made it the center of all religious worship by bringing the Ark of Covenant into the city. And even Jerusalem itself, Jerusalem, if you hear the last part of that word, deals with peace. So it was a city of peace. And the way he began to build a city of peace, people would come from far and wide to look at it, because he had got the best of architects, woodcrafters to design and to build and to make that a city of refuge, a city of peace. And so he did a lot of work under the guidance of God. Amen. And so David lived comfortably himself. He built for himself a palace. And because at this time he had about half a dozen wives, he made sure that he had things well comfortable, amen, to support all that he was doing. And at some point, David began to look at all that he was doing for himself and realized that they were still carrying the ark. The ark had certain rules and certain regulations surrounding it on how it can be carried, who was to touch it, priesthood, and all of that had to be in a tent. It had its own rules, set of rules surrounding it. And they knew when it was established, wherever it was, the presence of God was. And so David within himself began to wonder, man, this little tent, this is a small thing. Isn't God worth more than that? And he began to reason within himself to give God more, to do more for God. Why? Because he figured that God had already subdued his enemies by his hand. So he didn't look at it as he had a great feat. He looked at it as God was doing great things in his life. And so because God was great in his life and God allowed him to overcome King Saul, who was trying to kill him, and God was the one that ended the reign of Saul, not David. David did not do anything to assist or to help with that. In fact, when those who claimed they had something to do with Saul's death or Saul's son's death, David killed them because they put their hand on royalty or they put their hands on the king. And the king was given authority by God, and David was a defender of God. And that's the beauty of it. He was a defender of God. Amen. And so because his heart was to defend God, God covered him. Amen. And so there's so much about David. And I tell you, we can spend a month or two just talking about David alone and all the scenes that surrounded his life. But I'm going to try not to do that. I'm going to try to expedite some of my talking tonight by going back to the text, going back to what I have here written. Amen. So I can stay on time. So, again, so many things he had done, okay? So David lived in comfort of the palace as king. He had to set carpenters and masons with the finest of cedar trees to construct David's house, or David's palace, rather. So he had done already got the best of the best to build him something. But again, he began to reason with himself that since he had all of this, what else has he done for God? And so Nathan was the prophet at the time. He began to talk to Nathan about doing something for God. And that's where we're going to pick up in this lesson at today. Amen. The house that David wanted to build for the Lord. So again, we're reading 2 Samuel chapter 7, verse 4 through 16. And I'm reading from the King James Version of the Bible. And it reads, "And it came to pass that night that the word of the Lord came to Nathan, saying, Go and tell my servant David, thus saith the Lord, Shalt thou build me an house for me to dwell in?" And he asked David this question, "Shall you build?" And that same statement can be applied to all of us that want to pastor or start a ministry, or whether it's in our homes or whether we build a sanctuary. Shall we build? The word build now. Shall we build a house for the Lord? And I want you to ask yourself that question. You say, "Well, brother preacher, I'm not a preacher." Amen. All right. Are you saved? Are you a child of God? Amen. Amen. If you had wealthy parents, they took good care of you, made sure you had what you wanted. Amen. And your wealth, your increase came because of their influence and what they opened, doors they opened for your life. And something was going on with your father or mother's house, or they got to a point where they weren't able to live on their own, would not you have the desire to either open up the doors of your home to bring them into where you are, or to establish a home for them with the right type of aid to give them assistance, whatever they may need? Now, these are natural feelings, natural thoughts that I'm expressing, true enough. Now, and true, God is ageless, amen. He's the one that invented time, amen, so that we can be observant of the things that he do, amen. And so there's nothing but in our human mind, in our natural mind, it would just be natural that if God has blessed me, that I want to do something that's going to bless him. Amen. We celebrate in America, we celebrate Mother's Day and Father's Day. Now, I'm not going to get into it that Mother's Day have a greater celebration than Father's Day. I just hope y'all do better this coming Father's Day. Amen. 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 Because you want to give the father time some socks. But you buy mama roses, candy, and jewelry, and you do all that. And I ain't mad, and I ain't saying stop. I'm just saying don't get cheap when it comes down to Father's Day. Amen. Amen. Let me get back to the text. Amen. And so once again, So he can't. So the spirit, the word of the Lord came to Nathan saying, go tell my servant David. And the word servant David here is an honorable charge that God is calling him. My servant David. You know, God is, this is God honoring King David. That he's, in other words, he's saying that David is faithful. He's calling him his servant. He is one that's doing, not just did, but he's doing and still desiring to do even more for God. So he says here in verse 5, he said, go tell my servant David, thus saith the Lord, shalt thou build me an house for me to dwell, whereas I have not dwelled in any house since the time that I brought up the children of Israel out of Egypt, even to this day, but have walked in a tent. He did what? He walked in a tent. Amen. He walked in a tent and in a tabernacle. Amen. Verse 7, in all the places where I have walked with all the children of Israel, spake I a word with any of the tribes of Israel, of whom I command to feed my people Israel, saying, why build ye not me a house to of cedar? He said, you know, David, I didn't tell no tribe before you. We're talking about the 12 tribes of Jacob. Okay. He said, I didn't tell none of them to build me a house of cedar. In other words, I didn't tell nobody that, you know, I gave Moses what to do so that I will walk with the people. And because it was my desire to be down here with the people. But now you want to build me a dwelling place. Now, that was kind of ambiguous of David because, heaven is the throne of God. Earth is a footstool. In other words, most of us, they got these nice front rooms. We have you don't have a regular lazy boy where you can press the button and it extends out something that props your leg up. Most have what these little stools that comes at the end of your chair, so when you sit back in the chair, you can put your feet up on that stool. That's all the earth is to the Lord, something for him to put his feet on. That's just how big he is. I mean, and so... So, David, you want me now to now be in a house of wood, of cedar? You know what he said? So he's questioning this circumstance. But let's go on and see the conclusion of it. Verse 8. Now therefore, so shall thou say unto my servant David. This is God talking to Nathan. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, I took thee from the sheepcote. And as I said, I took you out the field. You were just a little shepherd boy. Amen. And from amongst the sheep. You know, you were the keeper of other people's stuff. And I took you from out of that. Amen. To be a ruler. In other words, I made you to be the lion. The point of a ruler, any of us today, when we in elementary school, we got a ruler, and what that ruler allowed us to do is when we put it on a piece of paper, it not only allowed us to measure something, but it allowed us to take that pencil and take a mark at one point of it and go down to another point, and that point would be a complete straight line. It wouldn't be a crooked line. It wouldn't be it may be in an angle this way or that way, but the line would be completely straight. That's what a ruler do. A ruler, amen, sets the line. Amen. To keep things straight, to keep things in order. Amen. And so that's what he was to be for God. He was to be the line so that the people will see how to walk, how to live. Amen. Amen. And that's what got Saul in trouble, because while he was the example for the people, he disobeyed God to the people, thereby teaching the people how not to honor God. Amen. And although David did sin, but his sin was not in the eyes of the people. Amen. His sin was one privately done. Amen. And so God was able to deal with him privately. Amen. But when his sin, when sin become a reproach to the people as a whole, to cause them to doubt, and that's what happened with Samuel. Samuel was honored, but his sons coming up behind him, they wasn't honored like their father because they didn't follow the same standard. And even Saul, Samuel, who was in place before when Samuel was given to Eli the prophet, amen. Eli the prophet had two sons, Hophnus and Phinehas, and they were stealing the people offering. They were manipulating the offering. They were sleeping with the women. They were doing all kinds of stuff, making the people not honor God. And so leaders, we stand in the gap between man and God, how they view God. And so when we as religious leaders, amen, and I've used the word religious, amen, because that's quote-unquote a term that's used, but we're supposed to be people of faith, amen, and not religious. But nevertheless, you know the term that we are dealing with. When those that said they are of God begin to live a life that's not of God, it teaches others who view their lives how not to honor God. And see, God wants to be in our midst, not just in a building. Amen. Thank God for churches everywhere that's teaching and preaching God's word, that's building and edifying the body of Christ everywhere. Amen. But I gave us so in the beginning, know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, whose you are. Amen. And so we have to understand that we belong to God. Amen. So let me get back to the text. Verse. So he said to be a ruler over my people, over Israel. Amen. I think that's very unique in the scripture. Some people may catch it. Some people may not. God said, over my people, over Israel. A lot of times we think Israel was the only people that served God. But here the text do say, over my people, over Israel. Now, Israel was his chosen people, but they wasn't his only people. Amen. And very important to be clear with that, because a lot of times religion make you think that the Israelites was the only ones that was right, but they was not. Because as we read scripture text, it was the Israel that did evil in the sight of God, and God had to punish them, and he punished them by the hands of their enemies. Amen. So let's continue on. Verse 9. Amen. And I was with thee whithersoever thou wentest, and have cut off all thy enemies out of thy sight, and have made thee a great name, like unto the name of great men that are in the earth. In other words, all of the other worldly kingdoms, all of the kings throughout the other world are men of valor that had well-established names for doing whatever great things that they were doing in that day and time. God is saying, I've done this for you, David, establishing this conversation. Okay? And so verse 10, he says, moreover, I will appoint a place for my people Israel and will plant them that they move no more. And that's why Israel, Jerusalem being the capital, the city, that's why that's established, because of this statement here. And although the Israelites was removed from there and scattered throughout the whole earth, amen, because of war, because of their own disobedience, etc. Like I said, if we go to talking about David and the children of Israel, that's a long, long conversation, very in-depth study. We have to really get into history then. But once again, from the top, verse 10, moreover, I will appoint a place for my people Israel and will plant them that they may dwell in a place of their own and move no more. Neither shall the children of wickedness afflict them any more as before. And this is something that God was promising David during this time. Why? Because David was a man after God's heart. He was going after God. He was seeking after God. He wanted to be pleasing to God. Did he make mistakes? Yes, because all of us make mistakes. God judged him one time because he numbered the children of Israel. Amen. And God didn't tell him to do it. Well, God said, I didn't tell you to do that. And he judged him for it. Amen. But there was other times where he told them to take account. And he did that. So it was knowing when to do what God wants you to do. Amen. Because you may be able to do it, but do God want you to do it? Amen. And a lot of times that's where we are in our Christian journey. There's a lot of things many of us may want to do or may be able to do. But the question is, do God want to be the true author or finisher of doing what it is that we're trying to do? Amen. Some things God wants for us to pass on to the next generation. Amen. Sometimes God don't want us to complete all projects. He may want you to have, he may want you to build up the people that's going to do said projects. Amen. Amen. And so we're going to continue. So it's, and moreover, neither shall the children of wickedness afflict them any more as before. Verse 11, and as since the time that I've commanded judges to be over my people Israel. He commanded judges, and that's very important. And I made reference to that the other day. So we have to realize God really intended. God's true intention was for us not to live by these commandments. Because when you go back to Genesis, God gave instruction on what to do. But because of the nature of sin, God had to say, don't do this, don't do that. Because God wanted us to be a people of self-governing. He wanted to be our king. He wanted to be our supreme leader, the director of all of our lives. And so that's why there was never no king long prior before Saul. There was no king. Many generations have passed on. You go back and look at the genealogy. God was leading his people because he wanted his people to follow him. He wanted his people to be self-controlled. Amen. And if we look at the Ten Commandments, we will see that in that commandment, in those Ten Commandments, we'll see the first four of those commandments really is teaching us how to love and honor God. And the remaining of those teach us how to not just love us, that's what the Sabbath come in, but how to treat one another and how to love our neighbor. Amen. And so the teaching was to operate within love. Well, love don't kill. Amen. You know, I know because of craziness, love will make you kill. But love don't commit murder. Amen. Love don't steal. If you love me, I shouldn't have to put my money off my mantle when you come over to visit. Because whatever's up there should be up there when you leave. Amen. When we love one another the right way, we don't take one another's spouses. Amen, somebody. And so that's what God wanted from us. Amen. And verse 12 again. And when thou days be fulfilled. I need to go back and read 11. I didn't finish it. As since the time that I commanded judges to be over my people Israel, I have caused thee to rest from all thy enemies. Also, the Lord telleth thee that he will make thee an house. So God told David, said, man, I don't want to told you I was going to make you a house. I don't want to told you that I was going to bless your seed, not seeds, plural. The seed referred to the promise of Christ coming. Amen. And so, and the house he was talking about was the kingdom reign. Amen. And so verse 12 says, and when thy days be fulfilled, and thou shalt sleep with thy fathers. He said sleep. He didn't say die. Amen. He said sleep. Amen. And when thou shalt sleep with thy fathers, I will set up thy seed. There it is. Fortifying what I just stated. And thou shalt sleep with thy father, and I will set up thy seed after thee, which shall proceed out of thy bowels. And I will establish his, not they, you know, this is singular, not plural. So it's talking about the seed of Christ, amen, coming into the world. And this is the promise. And he shall build a house for my name. That's why we are part of the body of Christ. Because he being Christ, Jesus Christ, amen, he shall build a house for my name, amen. Now, God did allow David's son to come and build a physical temple, a tabernacle, amen, a temple for the Lord. So, and he shall build and house for my name, and I shall establish the throne of his kingdom forever. This is how we know it's Christ, because David's son is dead. Amen. But Christ lives, and he lives forever. He is the one, he was the living one who died and arose and is alive forevermore. Amen. From Revelation. Amen. And I will be his father, and he shall be my son. This is talking about Christ. And if he commit iniquity, I will chasten him with the rod of men and with the stripes of the children of men. This is talking about his natural son. Amen. But his generation is coming behind him. This is talking about the children of the people of Israel now in the text. But my mercy shall not depart ways from him. As I took it from Saul, whom I put away before thee, and thy house and thy kingdom shall be established forever before thee. And so this is what David was being told by the prophet Nathan. He came and told him, thus saith the Lord, you're not going to be able to build God a house because there's too much blood on your hands. Because he was a man of war, had he been the one to establish God's kingdom, then every priesthood and every religion, every Christian group would have thought that the only way to build God's kingdom is through the shedding of blood and through killing people, because David was a man of war. And this was one of the reasons why he could not be the one to establish the temple of God. He could not be the one because the law of the seed. A seed can only be what it is. Amen. And so had he been the seed that started the church, amen, and not the one that was blessed to have the seed to start the church. See, the difference in him and Christ is Christ knew no sin. So Christ is the one that established the church for us. The ecclesia that we go to, which is the place of worship, that sanctuary that we enter in, it is established by pure seed, which is a seed of Christ who obeyed the Father even to death, but through the power of the Holy Spirit was resurrected back to life. So he paid the price because he knew no sin, but he became sin that all of us who are in sin may be delivered from sin. And so this is the thing that was being even fashioned way back then in this day and time. Now, God is strategic in building and developing and moving the way he moved. Amen. So that's very important for us to be mindful of that. Verses 4 through 7, the word came to Nathan for David, okay, was in response to opening the chapter 7, amen, where David and Nathan had conversations about David's desire to build a temple for God. David presumed that he had a house, the Ark of Covenant, residing in tent, and he should build a house for God in exchange. In other words, simply put, he had a house. He figured God needed to have the house. God was over him. If he had something great, God should have something greater. Do our minds think like that today? You know, do we want great things and then give God the leftover? And see, that's what happened in the issue with Cain and Abel, with their offering towards God. Amen. Cain killed his brother Abel because Abel gave of the lamb. He was the livestock. But Cain he was the keeper of the vineyard. And so, obviously, what was taking place was Cain was picking the fruit that didn't look as well, as plush. And so he didn't give the best of fruits to the Lord. But he was giving to the Lord. And his recollection was, God should just accept what I'm giving him. And that's people's attitude today. You know, because church messages today and for a while have been come as you are. But the problem with that is that conversation stopped there. Come as you are. God going to accept you as you are. there was no further teaching in, no, you come as you are and let and allow God to change you to whom you're supposed to be. You don't stay as you are. That's like me coming home out the rain, getting home out the rain, and I'm soaking wet from being in the rain, and say, well, I'm home now. I'm going to go and get comfortable and come in the house with all the wet clothes and muddy shoes and think that I can put my shoes up on the countertop and lay on the sofa soaking wet. Now, all of us know that don't make no sense because I will be considered filthy or dirty. You know, what makes sense is that I come in the house, that I would take off my shoes, leave them, the mud, at the door. You know, if I'm dripping wet, anything that I can remove from at the door, remove those, put those in the laundry, amen, or hang those up so they can dry. Take a bath, wash up, clean up, put on some fresh clothing, some dry clothing, then come and get comfortable. But we don't teach that way all the time. But that's the way it is spiritually. Yes, you can come in the door how you came. But the process of coming in the door is that you may be cleansed from coming in. That's why the scripture says, let no man say that he has not sinned. For if he say he has not sinned, he made God to be a liar. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Amen, somebody. And so that's where we are. I'm telling you that. Amen. Amen. And so we have to be careful as teachers, as mature saints, or children of God. We have to be careful how we teach concerning that when we're teaching people that didn't grow up in the church. Everybody didn't grow up in the church. Everybody don't grow up with church lingualists, you know, they don't church theology and tones. We have to teach them, but we should teach them according to the word of God. And so here, again, we're in the Old Testament, which is a reference for us. Because the Old Testament is simply the prophetic words of God concerning the things to come. His conversation to the people in their day and time, expressing himself, his nature, his will. And the New Testament is all of those things being fulfilled. And one of the beautiful things is when Christ came on the scene, he said, suffer to be so. And what he told John, when he was being baptized, he said, suffer it to be so that we may fulfill all righteousness. Amen. And then he later on told his disciples, he said, think not that I have come to destroy the law, but I came that it may be fulfilled. So the law was simply there to be fulfilled. It had to be fulfilled. In other words, if you started in school, You went to class and your different grade levels. As you grew, you had to fulfill the requirements for those grade levels in order to pass on. Amen. And so what we don't realize a lot of times is the all that came, the law and the prophet, was simply those things that we had to learn and fulfill. But teaching methods have been telling people, you can't do this, you can't do that. And that's all that they've been hearing. I can't. When And then we turn around and say, well, I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. But we done put so much can't do's in your head, you don't know what to do. But the law of God is to give us liberty to live life like God intended us to live it. The problem is, we'll go back to the seed, the nature of the seed. Well, the nature of our seed is different from the nature of God, of Christ's seed. That's why Christ was not born of a natural man. He was born of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Because that the Holy Spirit had to keep him from being contaminated by the seed of man, which rebelled against the law of the Word of God. Because that's what happened with Adam and Eve in the garden. And I know we like to throw Eve under the bus, but make sure that bungee cord is hooked to Adam so he get drugged up under that widow, because the Bible says she gave to her husband who was with her. And at some point, he should have said, no, this is not for us. At some point, he should have stopped her from doing, say, no, he told us, don't eat this. But it looked good, but he said no. Then life would have been totally different from us. Because, now, here's the way the walking part come from. We read in there that the word said that he walked with them through the tent. So while they were carrying the Ark of Covenant, God was walking with them. Well, if you go back and read Genesis, every day, during the cool of the day, God came to walk or to talk with Adam and Eve. Somebody said, they ain't say that. They do say that. He said, Adam, we out there. Notice, the name Adam is given to both of them. Adam himself called Eve, Eve. But he didn't call her that. He didn't give her that name until after the fall. Go back and read it. So when God called to them, either Adam, where art thou? Because he came to meet them like he normally did. He said, I heard thy voice. He didn't say, we heard your voice. He said, I heard the voice. Why? Because they was one. Amen. When you go back and read the text and keep it in its proper context, so this cause shall a man leave his mother and father and cleave to his own wife, and the two shall be one flesh, according to the scripture. So Adam and his wife was one. And when God called him, he called her too. And again, remember, she wasn't even named. He didn't say, Lord Eve did it. No, he said, the woman you gave me, he blamed God. We're going to have to stop blaming God, y'all. Own up to our own faults and responsibilities for the things that we've done. Amen. Amen. And when we deal with the tabernacle, amen, that God went on ahead. He allowed David to make available the supplies, but he wouldn't let David have hand in it. He would only allow him to make it available for his son. In other words, he had to pass that task on to his son. He had to pass it on to the next generation. So my question tonight, as I open the mic and just give everyone a chance to respond and or to make statements or ask questions if you have any, is what is what have you to pass on to the next generation that will be honorable in the sight of God? God bless you this evening. Amen. What are you willing to pass? What are you having to pass on that the next generation may honor and serve God? Amen. Once again, God bless all of you that's coming on the line. Amen. So many of you are on the line. God bless all of you. Each one of you, I see some friends.
Good evening. Good evening.
Long time, gay man. Family.
Good evening.
I think I heard Brother Six just there.
Yes. Yes, sir. Good evening.
Good evening. How you doing, sir?
I'm blessed, sir. How are you?
I'm doing good. I'm doing good. You have you have any questions? Before you ask me that, how's your mental? Amen. And then you can ask.
My mental is it's fair. I would say thumbs up. Two thumbs up for Trumpet, but I got to talk to you after the show. It's actually like my niece, but she's niece from another mother.
Okay.
She was, I guess, coming home from work today and was killed. I don't know if she fell asleep. I don't know what happened, but.
Oh, my Lord.
She's no longer with us, so just keep her family in prayer. Also,
okay.
We lost Unshakable. She was one of the squad members. Passed away on yesterday. So we just gotta
Friday.
Just
that was
last
week.
Yeah, we gotta count each minute, each second. We have to count and be thankful for.
Amen.
So
right. Amen. That's why
with
my family members now, you got that person on your heart, your mind.
Yeah.
To reach
out. And you know,
we need to do that.
And you know, April's already a bad month for me. I lost my brother on the 24th of April. So, you know, I'm here. That's all I can say. And what I have to leave, my legacy. If people are willing to listen, I have great notes. I have knowledge in music, curating, definitely radio. I mean, that's archived forever, so all they got to do is go back and listen to the tapes. And my talents that God blessed me with is what I'll leave behind to pass on to the my legacy. Amen.
Amen. My sister said, powerful. She said, good job. So,
thank you. Wow.
She said, good job. Amen. Leaving the Six Eyes Radio Network to the next generation to keep building in the name of the Lord will be very powerful. Amen. Amen. And more.
You,
all right. Anybody else? Good evening. How's your mental tonight? And do you feel like David should have built the temple or being a man of war? Or are you in agreement with the word that it was best for his son to do it in their time of peace?
Amen. This is Queen Nye. I have two thumbs up. My crown is sitting just perfect. And and Diamond has two paws up. I'm going to say I felt like it was best for him to leave it for his son to do in a time of peace. And as far as my legacy, God blessed me with many talents, and I went to school for architectural and interior design, but I was fortunate enough to, even in while I was in school, in college, because I was so far advanced, they had me teaching the basic mechanical class. So I have a lot to offer in the design as far as commercial design and home design, interior design, clothing design. I have a lot to share and teach the younger generation. I work with my nieces on their gifts and talents, the areas that they feel that they're strong with. I have one niece interested in acting and fashion, so I help her with that. I have another niece that's just super smart as well and very good with Legos and building stuff. And so she called me one day and she said, "Auntie, can you help me build a dinosaur?" So she wanted to draw it out of cardboard. And even though I'm long distance, I helped her with that. So it's just a blessing to be able to share
gifts and talents. There's a competition. There's a Lego competition for real where people can win real prizes. My fact, it's a program, and people really are in. You got a small group of people that's really into that type of architect design. And they've made some many, many designs. I mean, some of it, you'd be like, "And that's all Lego?" Like, you'd be real shocked.
She
can do.
That.
Yeah, so you'd be real shocked with what they can do with those Legos. All of that is the building block to the next society, you know. All y'all remember, long before cell phones, Mr. Spark and Captain Kirk, you know, used to flip that thing open and say, "Beam me up, Scotty." And they saying, you know, we got cell phones.
Yep.
You know, that was the whole design of the first cell phones. So a lot of times, a lot of stuff comes from, you know, the idea of, you know, he was passing the pad, and next thing you know, now you got we got tablets for real, you know. Some of them got them now that they look clear, and there's actually, if you follow that they got the they got the tables, clear glass, what have a computer thing that you can really do is not all on the table. They got screen boards now, touch screen boards that are clear. All this came from somebody idea that passing on something else and building on current technology. And so who knows what the world can become if people just work together like that, build that, you know, set it up for the next generation to succeed.
Right.
Amen. Anybody else? Anybody else? We got quite a few people on here. Amen. I'm not trying to make everybody talk. So you don't have to. Amen. But I love having a dialogue with you. Do you feel like you have something to pass to the next generation? Amen. You know. Queen. They do this thing called apprenticeship. You know, I learned my electrical skills. Now, so a lot of stuff I learned, I read. I'm one of the people I catch on stuff real quick. Most of. But my electrical skills I learned from being with my brother and his partner in their business. So as an apprentice, and so all of those electrical skills that I have, yes, I knew wiring and stuff like that, but I really learned about closed circuitry, closing the circuit, I learned that through on the hand job working with someone who was doing it, that took time to deposit that knowledge in me. And so it's a lot that I get extra because of my need to come and take care of some type of electrical work for them. So you never know. So somebody, the next architect designer, may become because you poured something into somebody that you recognize talent in them to do it. So
amen.
Take the lookout.
Amen. Amen. Hello, hello, good evening.
Good evening, evangelist, prophetess. Yeah, the woman of God.
Evening.
Good evening. I know you got something to pass on. I wish you could pass the horse on. Well, I don't want to sound like no woman, but I just, you know, that anointing in it. I'll tell you.
Yes. Amen. Praise the Lord, everybody. God, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. I tell God, thank you. I touch and agree, amen, David, I think that peace that surpasses all misunderstanding. So I truly think that when you can come to the resolution of bringing peace in any confused situation or any circumstances, I'm one of peace. I'm one not. Amen. I don't like to be caught up in disagreements and so forth, because that it does something to me, you know. And I like peace. I'm one that don't like to cause trouble, but like to diffuse it. Don't like to add fire to it. Like to bring a resolution that would benefit both individuals that are involved, but also my legacy that I would leave for the next generation is to learn to be patient, learning to hear the next individual, to give them an opportunity of expression of who they are. Because in my walk, you know, everything was pushed on you. But then, because God blessed me with a voice, you know, and I will leave praises behind to teach the next generation to how to praise the Lord in your situation, in your circumstances, and no matter what your gift is, that to use it to the best of your ability, you know, because we are who God says that we are. And we can have because faith has allowed us to, and we are believers. So to believe in yourself that you can achieve it. If you can believe it, you can achieve whatever your goal is or whatever you're striving for. But you got to believe it. So definitely leaving behind to keep that faith, to have faith, and to believe that you can do all things through Christ that strengthens you. You know, and move the can't out of your vocabulary. Stop saying what you can't do, but begin to say what you can do. And God bless me. You know, God bless me with a voice. I didn't go to school for no training or no voice coach or anything of that. God bless me with a voice that I was afraid to use because of things I've been through. To try and take away the gift that God bestowed upon me, you know. So He gave it to me, but I kept silently with it. I kept silently with it. So I would pass music, sounds of instruments, letting the individual know, use what God has given you. You have a voice, so use what God has given you. Amen. And always have an ear to hear you, pass that hearing on. Don't always be fast to talk, but to be a listener, Mm-hmm. And when you're a listener and a hearer, He said, faith come by hearing, hearing by the word of God. So I want to pass that on. You know, I want to pass on love. you know, to pass love on, that we would love each other, learning to love your brothers and your sister, wherever that they are at and what state that they're in, to learn to love your sisters and brothers, no matter what their race, creed, national origin is, to love your sisters and your brothers. And that whatever you build, you know, you can be a builder. You know, you build that motivation that just to continue to be a helper to somebody else, you know. And when you work together, you can succeed together, and then you can pass that legacy on, you know, and just pass that encouragement on, patience, learning to just be patient and not be, you know, just to be a diffuser. Don't be one to get involved or add fuel to the fire, but be one that bring a revolution to all mankind and all of our children. You know, tell them you don't have to fight. You know, use what you got and build what God has blessed you with. So everybody has something that they can leave, you know. And
amen.
My word, the word of God, you know, pass the word of God on to those in need. If you can hold that word, you can keep that word. He said the word of God. In the beginning was the word, and the word was with him, and the word was God. So if you can carry that with you wheresoever you go, you can't lose with the stuff that he used, that he has blessed us with. And
amen.
My mentor is good. I thank God for just life, health and strength. And I thank God just for a sound mind and good memories, you know. So I'm grateful for that. And I give it 2 thumbs up, you know, even though in the midst of the grievances of losing one of ours, you know, and so forth, you know, we must still pass that love on and be a helper to one another. And am I my brothers and sisters' keeper? Yes, we are.
Amen. Thank you, Evangelist Clayton. I will also say that you're leaving a new way to see.
Yes.
For someone that has been, whose eyes have been closed, or whose physical eyes have been closed, but your spiritual eyes have been open. There's an anointing to bless people to see.
Yes.
And see, a lot of times, the people that are sighted, they don't see the very thing that's in front of them.
Yes.
But there's an anointing and a deliverance in the throne. And even during those times, you find yourself seeing. And moving forward, you're going to give that sight to someone. Just passively. My mom gave me a gift of prayer.
Yes.
People ask me all the time, man, how you pray like that? And it's not that I'm trying to sound prolific or none of those things.
Mm-hmm.
But when I pray God's word. I pray the circumstance.
That's right.
And I pray and intercede in
That's
the
right.
prayer so that they can feel like we are reaching heaven from. So that they know that that prayer is being heard.
Yes.
It gives so many people comfort.
Yes.
There's something about the power of prayer.
Yes.
That really don't have a whole lot of words for it, other than it works.
It works. Yes.
And you know, you get a lot of people that pray stuff that don't make sense. And I'm not picking on nobody. So when I pray, I'm trying to be specific in my prayer and pray that earnest prayer.
Mm-hmm.
But that comes from having a relationship.
That's right.
I can't. All of my childhood life, young child, my mother made it a, I don't know when it started. I just know that there was a regular routine of my mom telling me and my brother, come on, get on your knees and pray. And we will say what we call the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. We'll go through that. Then mama will make us pray for our family.
Mm-hmm.
And so we grew up praying, God bless auntie. God bless grandmama. God bless my granddaddy. We pray. We grew up being told to pray for other people.
Mm-hmm.
And we're in a generation right now where people don't pray for other people.
Sure don't.
And so when I'm praying to encourage other people to pray.
Mm-hmm.
Because they don't understand that we have a king who's interested in listening to our petition, but your petition has to come a certain way in order to enter into the court where he's at. When you want a response, see, it's like going to law, going to court right now. You can't go to court any kind of way.
No, sir.
And if you can't go to man's court any kind of way, why do you think you're going to go to God's court any kind of way? And I've heard people say all kind of crazy stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But that's just the mercy of God out there keeping them covered, God's grace. But when you really want, the Bible says the prayers of the righteous avail as much. What that means is those that are doing my will, praying my will, praying my way, that was producing.
That's right.
And so I try to encourage that others because I'm telling you, I'm thankful. My mom was probably the greatest evangelist I know.
Mm-hmm.
8th grade education. But she read to us bedtime stories. Y'all know the book they read. She took time to demonstrate having a relationship with God.
Mm-hmm.
And being for real. Me and my brother, we didn't see my mama trying to get with this man and get that man and trying to pay this. No, she trusted God, and her prayer was to God.
Mm-hmm.
She ain't play them games.
Mm-hmm.
And so she gave us God for real.
Yeah.
And I think the greatest gift any of us can give somebody else is to give them God for real.
That's right.
Be real. Be who you are. And show your real relationship. Now, if you don't got one,
that's right,
you're going to have to go and get one. That way you can demonstrate it better. Amen. I got some more folks on the line. Somebody else may want to say something. Time in. You're on the line. With all of us here from the Six Eyes Radio Network, this is the Six Eyes Motivational Monday with yours truly. I know I slowed down just a moment there, but man, every now and then you got to slow back. You got to slow down and look back at what have you done? What have we done for the Lord? Are we doing anything for the Lord? Can we pass something on? How's your mental? God bless you. Come on, somebody else.
My mental is, this is Elder Lockley, and my mental
Elder
is...
Elder Lockley, bless you, man of God.
God bless you too, sir. And my mental is about a 9. And what I leave for the, what I'm passing on to the next generation is spending time with friends and family.
Yes.
Sharing the moments and the milestones of life.
Yes.
I want to be remembered. It's not the things you buy that you want to be remembered, but it's the positive value and the belief of the Word of God that you want to be remembered by.
Amen. Amen. I believe that, Elder Lockley. I believe that. I believe you're passing on what I like to call the stick-to-itness. I believe you're passing on how to maintain, how to stay with it all the way to the end. Amen, amen. Some men don't know how to stay in there all the way to the end. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
It's a challenge in this world because they'll tell you trade up, trade in, trade. and we need somebody that's gonna say, hold on, stay right there, be still.
Mm-hmm.
And see the salvation of the Lord.
Amen.
That's gonna do that, and I think that's what when I listen to you talk, all I hear is all the way to the end, sir. don't stop till you finish the cross. You got to finish. You got to go through the finish line.
Amen.
In other words, you got to be able to say, I've fought a good fight. I've kept the faith.
That's right.
I've finished the course. Righteous. But it ain't laid up if you ain't kept the faith. It ain't laid up if you ain't hold on. So thank you, sir. Thank you, sir.
Amen.
Anybody else? How you feel? What you're passing on to the next generation? David loved God. He passed on the materials to his son so the son can finish the work that he wanted God to do for the Lord. What are we passing on to the next generation?
I just want to say good afternoon to everyone. And this is Cindy Lockley, the wife of Leslie Lockley.
All right. God bless you, woman of God.
God bless y'all too.
You got a voice made for radio. You got a voice made for radio. You need to start doing some overview. You need to start doing some overview. Start making some commercials or something.
Okay. Praise God. I want to say that my mental. I want to say that my mental is a 8.5, which is good for me. And I would just like to say that my honorable one would be first a caregiver and, you know, and a son protector, a real good protector of the ones I love. And I want to be able to lead and set an example for those to make it through whatever situation they're going through, whether it's friendship, love, or respect, that they need to hold out to the end and not give up. That it might get hard. So I just want them to know that they're going to have to work hard at it to get it because
Amen.
I thank God I'm not where I used to be, but I'm where I need to be. And I thank God for that day. And I'm truly, truly blessed, and I'm very thankful and grateful for it.
Amen. Amen. You got people in life in this world that they some voices, when you hear certain voices, y'all correct me. Anybody, you correct me. Some voices, when you hear them, some voices automatically kind of light up the room. y'all listen to me?
Amen.
Okay, thank you. Some people have a voice that when they start talking, it seems like if they sad, you gotta be looking at them to tell. Because if you ain't looking at them physically, you think they just are cheery, but they just got that voice. Am I right? Anybody feel like that about Sister Lockley? Don't she sound like she got a uplifted? And now, don't let me testify by myself. There's a whole bunch of people on the line. Thank you, y'all. Thank you now. Come on. Don't be a hater, because I'm going to talk about you if you're a hater. I'm going to talk about you if you're a hater now. I ain't going to talk bad, but I'm going to talk.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you.
Amen. Thank you. Amen. Amen. Ain't nothing wrong with having a friendly disposition. Amen. That's what we need in this world. The Bible said that the common people heard Jesus.
Amen.
I'm glad. Amen.
Yeah, she has a great voice. She has a great voice, and her and Lockley can take over for the rest of the year for me. I appreciate it.
I'm going to have to go and talk my 6 hours about that. Because I don't think I hear her hollering for another concert, and I'm hearing her saying, "Keep going, son, keep going." Lady Bonnet, is that you saying something? I hear you mumbling.
No, I just said, "Oh, that's beautiful."
Oh, I know I heard something. Yeah. Amen.
Well,
and what are you going to pass
meal
on?
My meal to today is a 9. Feeling good today. To God be the glory.
Amen.
Thank God that He gave me life, health, and strength today. Also, my gift that that God has me to pass on is a gift, as you had said, about being a prayer intercessor, a prayer warrior. God had it's always been my father, my mom, my brothers. I see it in my aunts, and I see it in myself, and I see it in my kids. So I know that God, you know, it went to my husband as well as to myself, to our kids. So being an intercessor, a prayer warrior, as well as a gift of praise, also a gift of giving, to give to others. And I pray God, He bless me, that I may be a blessing to others. So the gift of giving. Also, also the talent that God gave me. He gave me a gift of see and a gift of beauty with the, makeup and hair and clothing, how to put things together on, you know, on people. You know, as well, you know, to make someone, you know, I asked God, you know, as in my business, I had asked God to anoint me help me to make someone look beautiful outside, as well as I help someone look beautiful inside by give them a gift of witnessing, to witness to others, that I go into the uttermost and goodmost parts of the earth and witness His word. So that's the gift that God had gave me to give to others, that I leave as a legacy in this earth. God bless.
Okay.
Amen.
All right.
All right. I hear a whole bunch of comments on that. Amen. They say, oh, that's why Pastor Bobby be loving him like that. He got a pretty gal. And I can't help because I'm blessed like that. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Anyone else got any comments about David leaving something for the next generation? Amen. That's what the Bible says, that David served his generation and then he slept. And so our job are to serve our generation. That word servant is a humbling word, because a lot of us, we want to be the boss, you know. We want to be the boss. I ain't mad at you wanting to be the boss. I ain't mad at you wanting to be in charge. But even the boss got to listen to somebody. Amen. I all my own business, but I wouldn't be in business if I didn't listen to my customers. Amen, somebody.
Amen.
So we got to listen. Amen. And this word listen, you know, I know that girl song, that song, Listen. And the emphasis will get you to pay attention to what they're saying. we ain't gonna sing a song, but because there's probably some words in there that I sure ain't gonna say. But listen, the Bible says, it say, "Hear, O Israel, listen." Bible teaches that. Pay attention. Pay attention. Sometimes God has to stop us where we are. They listen because we don't listen. I've done some stuff recently, and I heard one thing, and I went and did something else because that's how I just felt. And no sooner than I did what I felt, something else happened, and I'm like, Lord, I repent right now, because if I did a joke, I wouldn't waste all this time. So, now I done learned to repent quicker these days. And I sit there and tell my son, what happened? No, I don't need to blame the devil. All I know is I didn't listen. And so that's why I'm saying to you all what I'm saying. Sometimes you got to catch yourself. You know what? I need to pay attention. I get some of my senior customers. They say, I say, Elder Bonnie, what you think about doing it this way? And I don't care what I was going to do. I done learned to stop it. I'm quiet and listen to what you got to say. They said, nah, you go and handle your business. Said, no, ma'am, especially Mother. Mother Pippin, I said, no, ma'am. But you, when you open up your mouth, you was willing to help me. So let me listen, because I be asking God, send me help. So let me listen. I said, listen to the air word. I said, Mother, I can use that. She said, now you go on. I said, no, ma'am, I can use just what you said. The Lord answered me. I just had to listen. So sometimes, now this is what he'll do for us, y'all may want to hear this, but what he'll do is, you may ask God for direction today, how to do something, how to do something, and he sends the answer to the person you don't want to listen to. I know I'm telling the whole truth. He's going to send it by the person that made your eyebrows stand up. And the thing that he's breaking in us is our pride, because we don't want to listen sometimes.
That's right.
Amen. I, I'm talking about you, so y'all ain't got to get mad at the preacher. I ain't talking about y'all. I'm talking about me. I did say y'all, but I'm talking about me. I'm talking about me, so I, don't get mad at me. I don't need no bad emails. Amen. But sometimes we just hard-headed. Y'all ain't going to tell the truth. That's all right. The hard-headed nigga saw behind. That's what they used to tell. They demonstrated with the strap. Yeah, Lord, they demonstrated with that strap. And when and see, the children of Israel were hard-headed. Now, we read it in the text. God said that yesterday I read it in the text that God said that he put the Israelites in the hands of the Midians for 7 years. In other words, they had to go through a 7-year punishment getting their behind whooped, all because they didn't listen to what God wanted to say. They want to find out who else has something to say.
Exactly.
So some of our trouble.
Yeah.
So we do this. And so we have to decide. We of a people. We have to decide that I'm going to listen better. Amen. Now, here's the thing. Don't ask God for an answer and then cut your ears off.
That's right.
That's crazy. And then don't wait on the answer.
That's right.
Lord help us today. Because we'll do that.
Amen.
And then 2-3 weeks go by. We said, Lord, I prayed. But Lord said, well, I was trying to talk to you, but shoot, you ran out of the room so fast. You barely let your knees touch the ground.
What you say?
I brought my own amen, so amen, preacher.
Amen,
preacher. Tell the whole truth. And so we have to listen. Amen. And David, he listened, y'all. Nathan the prophet told him, this not for you to do. You know, your idea was good. And see, that's the thing that we got to understand. It's not that your idea isn't good.
That's right.
It just may not have been the time for that. I promise y'all, I've been a teacher of evangelism for a very long time, especially in our jurisdiction. And there were certain things that I wanted to do, but because of my duties at the local church as a district evangelist, I couldn't do them the way I wanted to do it because every pastor, number one, got their own program. And then my pastor, my bishop, had his set things he wanted me to do. And at the time, not only was I the church evangelist, the district evangelist, but I was also the sound engineer. And so he had mandates on things that he wanted done. And so I couldn't just do anything I wanted to do.
That's right.
The idea that we had about growing churches wasn't a bad idea. This happened one year. We had it was around election time, and I was thinking how the people. I said, let's do a campaign for Christ. I said, this is one of the things I think will help a lot of our ministries. Let's start having some campaigns for Christ. Elect Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Let the youth department design signs that motivate them to design signs for us in calling people in to hear Jesus. And then let's see what they come up with. Well, I couldn't do it in my local ministry because they already had the different things for the youth department going on. They already had a youth department president, already had other things going on. I didn't get a mess. I took my influence and shared it in the training section And before I know it, one of the other churches in my other district began to do it and came back with a positive report of how many people came to the church, how many people got saved. See, what we get hung up on, we want to do it because we want our name in. You go ahead and release it. See, that's why I tell people all the time, we didn't read Habakkuk 2 and 2 properly. We got to read verse 1 before we started jumping on verse 2. But verse 2, we read it right because we wrote a vision, not the vision. And that's why our real issue, we keep writing a vision, but not the vision. The vision that comes from God is the one that God has authorized to make happen.
That's right.
And so he said, write vision, make it plain. He told us to write it upon table. So when I wrote the vision out, when I spelled it out to the people, those that heard it took the vision and built on it. I ain't come back later on and say, oh, that was my idea. They got that from me. They ain't give me credit. No. It was all about God. And then I began to celebrate when they came and told me, man, to God be the glory. Man, what y'all did? Man, it was your, no, Doc, that was God. I wouldn't even let him, no, that was God.
That's it, it was God.
You obeyed God.
That's it.
And so that's what, that's what we got to get to the point where we want God's agenda to be done.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Amen. We want God's agenda to be done. Mm-hmm. Amen.
That's
because
right.
What we try to do sometimes, I ain't saying it's bad, but this was a true statement and a title of a book.
Mm-hmm.
Good, the enemy of great.
Mm-hmm.
I just want you to think about the whole, just the thought of that word. Good is the enemy of great. And I know in your mind, you're like, wait a minute. Good is the enemy of great? Well, I'm going to break it down real quick. C, the letter C in a grading scale is good. The letter A is excellent.
Yes.
If you have a C mentality, you will never strive for A.
That's right. That's right.
Excellent.
That's right. Thank you. Mind
that. Period. And that's all the preacher gonna say about it.
That's it. It's good enough. That's good enough.
So we have to be careful. We have to be careful.
That's right.
Not going to talk.
That's it.
Y'all know I'm still on the line because I called in for work tonight. Yeah. I'm taking one of them days that they done told me I can have off. So I done called. I texted all three of my managers. So that's why I'm still on the line. I know my wife wonder. Boy, you ain't gone yet. You ain't dressed. What's your problem? I ain't got no problem. I just the knees are bothering me, and I say, you know what? I done learned to go ahead and accept rest.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Mm-hmm. When I have the opportunity, because. These are the only two knees I got. Yeah, no, I ain't getting four. I'm older. I'm gonna get there eventually. But you know, if they say, I want to say I'm now at middle age because I plan on living to be 100. So, you know, it's when people used to get, they say you 40, they say, ooh, you over the hill. I said, oh, that's more than halfway. That means you ain't going to live no closer to 80. I said, nah, I want to live to be 100. So I want to live as long as he say I still got something to do.
Amen.
Amen. And so, you know, I told my kid one time, I said, I want to live long enough to aggravate my great grand. Not the grand, the great grand. You know, I want to be old enough to aggravate them. Amen. 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 Well, we do have a prayer request. Six did give us a prayer request to be praying for his niece that passed, or the family, because of praying for the dead, that we don't do that. We pray for the living. Amen. Because mm-hmm. the dead is already at judgment. Mm-hmm. And so our prayers will be wasted. So our prayers are for the living. And so it's not to be disrespectful to anyone. It is just to be that when I pray for real. I'm asking you to do something for real, something doable. Amen. We're praying for the families of one of the members of AJ and the squad that passed on. We're praying for her family. Evangelist Clayton, would you say her name again for me?
Her name is Jada, but we call her Uncheckable. We call her Uncheckable Jada.
That's what kept throwing me, because, you know, I got some of that young school, man, Uncheckable. That's, you know, that's a whole other field of thought.
mm-hmm.
But yeah, we're praying for Jada's family, Uncheckable family. We're praying for them, amen. Because when your loved one leaves here, especially for the young lady that passed on earlier today, I had a family member that passed that way, and for a season of my life, you know, I had to rebuke death, because I promise you, I was falling asleep at the wheel on a constant basis, and it was one time that I literally almost ran off the wheel coming from Arkansas. And I was coming over from Arkansas, because that's where my job assignment was at the time, coming back here to Memphis. And this is in about 2006, 2007. And I guess 2006, it was 2006. My whole right side went up on that embankment, and it was by the but God that turned that wheel so I can come back inward. But just from that day to this, never heard it as bad. It's as if I had a puncture wound or something. It hurt it so bad. They definitely kept me woke all the way to the house. That 25-minute drive from that point, or 30-minute drive from that point, that definitely kept me woke. But I had a season where I would be sleepy. I know the things give me a countdown, but God kept me. I would be in my vehicle, parked in front of the garage with the vehicle running, and I'll wake up asleep. Amen. But God kept me in that season. One of the church members one day was blowing their horn. It was on the other side. Elder Bonnie, calling on me. And I had trained her brother how to do sound and everything. And she said, I'm going to come for your wife and tell her you sleep at the wheel. And I was at the stoplight with my feet on the brake, completely asleep. My youngest son, he testified about watching me sleep. And I told him it was a shame before the Lord for you to have this testimony. But he said, Dad, you know you be driving a lot of times sleep.
Yep.
I said, man, I ain't be sleep. He said, Dad, I watch you. I said, why would you watch somebody go to sleep and they instead of waking them up? He said, man, I just wanted to test God. I said, you want to do what? He said, I want to test God. Since you were talking about God is able to do all things. I'm sure this is his real testimony. He said, I wanted to test God. I wanted to see whether he's real, see how much he loves you. He said, I watched you put your blanket on, your eyes sleep. I watched you stop at the stop sign, your eyes sleep. I watch you merge lanes, your eyes sleep.
Yes.
You ain't crossing lanes, you ain't weak.
Yes, yes.
I said, boy, this don't make no sense. You need to stop. And then my oldest said, Dad, he tell the truth. I witnessed. I said, not you. I expect that from him, but I don't expect that from you. You my oldest. No, you the most lightning. Come on. I know. He said, Dad, I only did it one time, but yeah, I know the Lord real. He said, ain't nobody ask you nothing now.
Oh, Matthews,
Lord.
We was coming over
to
Matthews Bridge at the time.
Lord, see, now she done went back to Jacksonville. Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy.
God be the glory.
That was a covering that God had on my life. For a season, I literally had to fight with that. I had a cousin that worked for Kim Slouch, and he ran off the bridge there in Jacksonville. And that's how he ended it. So that thing was on me trying to fear me, but I used to rebuke it. And it was years later I found out why. After that season passed me, I was almost in a car accident, and the Lord allowed me to avert that accident. And I was about to slow down and pull over. The Lord said, go on, you're late for work. Come on, go on to work. He said, that's what you've been praying for me for. And for years, my family tell you, I pray for traveling mercy and grace that God would block accident and incident by his providence. And it was a routine prayer for me. It was something that when I prayed that prayer. And the Lord told me that day, he said, son, this is what you asked me for. Now, get on the work. I was thankful and kind of, I don't know if the word bewildered is, it'll be, you know how somebody check you and they write, you want to say something, but you really can't say nothing. That's how I felt. I felt like the Lord checked me.
He's checking you.
Literally, the Holy Spirit told me, that's what you pray for. Now, go on to work. Because I was finna pull over. Because I was all nervous and thankful. That's what you pray for. Now, go on. You're about to be late to work. I'm like, what? Wait a minute. So, but when you have a relationship with God,
yes,
God honors our prayers.
Yeah, do it.
God sees how you're praying and why you're praying,
and
that type. When you build a relationship of your community, what are you talking to God about? I learned a long time ago: don't sit there and talk to God about my problem if he don't know what they are.
Mm-hmm.
Ask him how to get out of it. Ask them what you're supposed to be doing about it.
Yes.
We spend a whole lot of time crying, and the truth of the matter is, and I know we don't like to hear this, but crying don't move God.
Mm-mm.
They don't make God move. And here's my proof. The children of Israel was in bondage over 400 some years. I think my fight 430 years. That's a long time for God to hear a cry. So you crying is not going to make God move right now. But when you cry his word, when you're in his word, that's why scripture says, put me in remembrance of my word. That's relationship. That's what moved God. And so I love quoting scriptures like when we're binding principalities, I speak blessings over my life. And you're supposed to speak them over your life. And the goal of the enemy is to stop us from doing that. Hear what I'm saying? The goal of the enemy is to keep you quiet so that you don't speak your own destiny, so that you don't speak your prosperity, so you don't speak what God has declared for you. And see when you know there's a anointing of on your life, the thing you pray, Lord, and David had a desire to do for God in the scripture tonight. His desire was to do for God, but his anointing was his hand. God said, I don't want those hands. Remember I talked to y'all about David's anointing from a child to kinghood. His anointing was in his hand. And that's why those hands could not build the temple, because those hands were full of blood. But we got the largest book in the Bible, the Psalms. You got tons of songs from a king who knew how to worship and how to praise God. So what is that telling us? If we really want to build, let's learn how to worship and praise God. Let me tell you, it's in his word. Well, once again, we're praying for those circumstances. Any other prayer requests? Amen. Any other prayer requests?
No.
All right. Well, dear Heavenly Father, we come before you saying thank you. Thank you for the air that we breathe. Thank you, Lord God, for the activities of our limbs. Thank you, Lord God, for having a mind to pray, a mind to study, a mind to come after you, a mind to seek you, Lord God. You told us in your word that those that desire to must believe that you are God and you are one that will reward them that diligently seek you. And so, God, if we are seeking your will for our life, we just want to say thank you that there's purpose for us in your plan. Your word declares that you know your thoughts towards us, that they are thoughts of good and not of evil, to give us an expected end. And so, God, we thank you for your expectation for our lives. And we thank you, Lord God. And, Lord God, I thank you that the scripture do say, cast our cares upon you, for you care for us. So that means you're not bothered by our tears, Lord God, but you're moved by your word. And so, God, help us, Lord God, to line up with your word. Lord, we thank you today. As we lift up the bereaved families today, Lord God, we lift each one of them one by one and name by name. You know all the family members, Lord God. You know those that was close and near. You know the obligations that the family are going to have in trying to put to rest their loved ones in the burial, in the homegoing ceremonies that they're going to have. God, we ask that you will block out the hand of the enemy. That you bring no confusion, no arguments, no discord. But, Lord God, that you will allow this transition, Lord God, to be smooth for the family, as it is a difficult time.
And, Lord God, after the season of mourning for their lives, Lord God, renew their joy, renew their strength. Give them hope again. Give them courage, Lord God, to keep on pressing on. And those that will be hit the hardest by the passing of these loved ones, God, we pray a covering over them, that you don't allow them to do things that will cause harm to them or anyone else, oh God, but that you will keep them safe from unseen hurt, harm, or danger. And we thank you for it now. God, we ask that you look over the Six Eyes Radio Network. Look over Brother Charles, Lord God. Continue to bless him, strengthen him. Lord God, give him wisdom from on high on how to manage the station, how to build the station, and what next to do. And God, as you do it, Lord God, give us strength, Lord God, that we can follow the vision and help impact the vision, Lord God, to be more impactful to the world, Lord God, as we preach and minister the gospel of Jesus Christ. And God, we thank you, Lord God, for even those other things, Lord God, allow what we do, Lord God, to bring joy to families, to restore health to families, to restore life, Lord God. Allow what we do, Lord God, to be glorious in your sight. And, Lord God, we just thank you, Lord God, for the ability to do what we do, each one of us, one by one, name by name. And we thank you now, Lord God. Thank you for this family, Lord God. Lord God, I'm praying for my family that their faith is strengthened even more, Lord God. God, we don't have to pray for more faith. Just help us to exercise the faith that you have given us, that we will work it like you gave us, oh God, that we will trust your word and take you at your word, Lord God. And God, as you do those things in our lives, give us courage to come back and testify on how we made it over. Give us courage to testify to others of what they can do also if they trust you. And, Lord God, those things that are still causing doubt and confusion in our mind, we ask, Lord God, that you will forgive us, first of all. Forgive us for any iniquities. And, Lord God, help us to forgive those that have done us wrong. Help us, Lord God, to release the pain that may still be lingering in our heart. Help us to forgive ourselves, Lord God, of failing over and over again. But, Lord God, help us, Lord God, to be reminded that the joy of the Lord is our strength. And so, God, we thank you today for strength. It is in Jesus' name we give you glory, honor, and Heavenly Father, we thank you today. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for teaching us how to love ourselves and how to love others. Lord God, we just pray right now that we are obeying your word according to your word. And as we give you thanks, God, allow us a good rest tonight, Lord God. Allow us peaceful travels, oh God, as we travel to and fro. And continue to bless all the programs here, Lord God, on the Six Eyes Radio Network. And we give you thanks. It is in Jesus' name we pray and receive. Amen and amen.
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 Brother Charles, you have you are the founder. So you have anything that I may have admitted, heard it, or didn't say that needed to be said?
No, sir. Yes, as always, you. As always, you always deliver. Nothing is left unsaid. Nothing is left undone. It's fully cooked. It's a full buffet and take-home boxes for those who desire to do so.
Amen.
You know, I to the advantage of Clayton, I made my Zupa soup Sunday, and I had to make it twice. I had to make it Sunday.
Made what?
Made it Saturday. My Zupa soup.
Zupa soup?
If you ever go to Olive Garden, they have a soup that's called Zupa. It's made with Italian sausage and kale and potatoes. And it's called Zupa. It's a wonderful taste.
Oh, that sounds good.
And and every time I make it, I have to make it in my crab pot, my small crab pot, because if I don't make a big pot of it, it doesn't last. At all.
but it was just that good to make it twice this time around because they normally the last two whole days, but they killed it.
Wow.
I'm going to go ahead and say that. I may got some broth in there. That's about it.
Uh-huh. Amen.
America.
Yeah. But that's good pursuit. People that are family members, they tell me now. There's a lie they told it. But they tell me I got all of God knowing it. That's what they tell me. Now, if it was a lie, they told it. I'm just saying what they said. They said it's good that they he said super good. Yeah, so that's one of my so it has become one of my specialty dishes.
Uh-huh. All right. Amen.
That's right. Pastor Barnett's Zuba soup. Forget Olive Garden, Zuba soup. Bonnet. Let me make it batches all the month of April. Bonnet's Zuba soup.
Yeah. I'm going to try to do a version with beef, and then I'm gonna try to do a version with turkey. I did the turkey version one time before. It did come out good too. Still that Italian sauce ain't nothing like it, but you can't. Italian sauce has got certain herbs in it, and that Italian meat. That even though it's pork, but
Everybody, y'all want to do me a favor? Now follow me. We're about to make a jingle right on the spot.
Uh-oh.
Now the words is it's bonnets, zupa soup. When I say that, you say in unison. Okay, you ready?
It's bonnet, zupa soup. Available in Walmart next week. It's bonnet, zupa soup.
Yes. He is character approved. Now he is definitely character approved. Yeah. Yeah. He's made for Hollywood. Yeah. He is definitely made. Love y'all family. Y'all take care. Be blessed. Have a wonderful night.
Yeah.
Evangeline Clayton, you gotta give us one. What's your favorite dish to cook?
My favorite dish, oxtails and oxtail with potatoes and some yellow rice and some crackling corn for you and some cabbage green on the side. All right.
I have to make that for you.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
How's your vegetable garden becoming all queen?
How's my mental?
Your vegetable garden.
Oh, my garden? I actually just started the seedlings tonight.
Okay.
I put some basil, cilantro, some green beans. I forgot what else I put in the little starter boxes. But I'll be going out there soon, digging up the garden. I've got peppers and turnip greens, collard greens, the plant. And when I went out there today.
All I hear is below market price. I hear, you know, fame.
No, that's right. Oh my goodness.
Got some, I actually got a collard green plant left from last year out there. I went and looked today, and I was like, oh my God.
Sounds like deliciousness.
Yeah, I'll get my tomatoes out there and everything else.
See, my neighbor next to me, she did that last year. So when I do a yard, I have to make sure I trim up and trim around them vegetables. So, and she's an elderly lady. She got them come and do different things around that garden. But I promise you, it's a shame before the Lord, probably, because when we bought the house, the guy we bought, the family we bought it from, he sectioned out part of my backyard for the garden. Man, I went back there, sprayed everything, killed everything. Now every now I think about it, I'm like, Lord, I got all that yard and around here. I could be having tomatoes and everything else I want because this is a good environment to grow a lot of stuff.
Mm.
So if you can grow all that up there in Idaho, man, I ain't got no I can't do nothing but pop my own head. I ain't got nothing. I pop myself in the mouth.
you better be growing your own stuff and not getting all those pesticides and stuff. You got the yard.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, I got no excuse. Not a one. I can't even. I ain't got no excuse because you can section your yard off. And I don't have no excuse. It's just pure laziness. That's good. Look, we ain't going to call it what it is. Believe me, Lord. That's all I can say. Help me come up in my mind. Ain't no sense of telling that now. And like people, well, no, they say I need some money. You got an oven. You're not a bake. Yeah, well, they go your money out there right there. People buy cookies every day.
Yes, sir. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Cookies.
Listen, I don't care. One thing they're gonna always sell: fresh cookies.
Brownie.
It don't matter where you at. Always gonna sell fresh cookies. You say fresh cookies. Somebody had some cookies. I looked at the cookies. I looked at them, and my mouth said no, but I looked at the cookie and took out money. Cookies gonna sell. They gonna sell. They sell. So you know, we ain't got no excuse. Not to have what you need when God gave you all this provision. So we just got to find what God's given us. Amen. I love y'all. You can tell I done put the night off because I'm still talking. So good night, all. Hopefully all of y'all did your tax preparation. If not, you got, depending on your time zone, you got a little time left to get it on in. God bless you. Amen and amen. We'll see y'all next trip.
Good night, America.
Good night.
Good night.